Well, welcome, and in this video, I'm gonna talk about drums and help you get a drum if you don't have one, talk about the different drums that I'll kind of explore in this program, and if you do have a drum, kind of explore some other ideas that you might want to expand your collection. So I wanna start by saying, like I did in the free video series, introducing this program, that you don't really need a drum to do everything that we're gonna do here. You can use a hardcover book. Any book will do. Choose something that's got enough pages that it's kind of easy to hold on to. And take the paper jacket off the outside. In this case, you're just going to play it like you do a frame drum. You're going to hold it in your hands. You're going to use your ring fingers against the binding there, and your middle fingers against the middle. And you can play some basic grooves. Really simple. Great place to start. If you don't have a drum, we're going to be starting the program in a few days. Order a drum and then use the book in the meantime. And there's going to be some exercises we do to begin with anyway that can be handy just using the book, because then we won't have to worry so much about getting the tone of the drum, because that's half the battle. You can also play in your lap. So, you know, play on your legs. You can play at a tabletop. You can, you know, grab a bucket or whatever you want to do. You don't have to have a traditional membrane over a shell drum. So if you can't get your hands on one, or the drum you want is too expensive at this point, go ahead and just work on the technique on whatever you have. And then when you get the drum, you can work on getting the tones out of that. So I'll talk about different kind of drums you can get. I'll kind of go from the most basic, least expensive option up to, you know, some expensive custom-made drums. So great place to start is a Remo frame drum. Real basic. This is a 12-inch basic frame drum. Just for reference, a frame drum is any drum where the diameter of the head is greater than the depth of the shell. So this would be considered a frame drum. The sound you're going to get out of this is primarily from the head itself. The shell doesn't vibrate a lot because there's not a lot there to vibrate. So they're going to be fairly quiet, and that can be an advantage if you live in an apartment, or, you know, you want to play somewhere where you would be bothering other people if you played too loud. This type of drum is called a tar. It's held in your left hand, and just kind of using your right hand to kind of stabilize your holding, and then to play with your fingers. I'll go into technique in another video, but this drum is just, it's fairly easy to play. There's just a few strokes, and it kind of sounds like this. Real simple. So this is a 12-inch drum, like I said. This is great to be played up like this as a tar. There's another way to play a frame drum that we'll be covering in this program, and that's to put the drum on your lap. And in that case, you're going to want a little bit larger frame drum. And this is another option. This is the same basic design as the 12-inch, except this one is 16 inches. Again, it's fairly shallow. This is 2.5 inches deep. This drum is probably going to run about $50. The 12-inch is going to be about $30. So they're very inexpensive. This drum you play putting on your leg. So you just put it on your thigh, and then you drape your left hand over it so that you can hold it with the palm of your hand, and then tap it with your ring finger on the edge. That's where you want to hold it. Your right hand is going to go on the side of the drum and pivot and play along here. And like I said, in another video, I'll show you the technique for this. But for right now, this drum sounds like this. Similar kind of sound as playing it the other way. They're both really good techniques. They're a good place to start. Like I said, very inexpensive drum. There are a lot of these frame drums that you can play that have jingles on them. Like this one here has jingles on the side. Some will have noisemakers on the inside that'll rattle, that you can get additional sounds from. Those are totally fine. The basic techniques we're going to cover for these two styles, the lap played frame drum and the tar style, will work with any drum that you can hold these two ways. Like I said, these are very inexpensive examples of what this is all about and great places to start. And what'll happen as you do more drumming, you'll end up getting a lot more drums. I've got many, many drums in the studio, and many, many more in my house. Unfortunately, I don't play them all because there's just too many of them to play. To go on another level of frame drum, you do have really high quality frame drums here. This is a Cooperman, and this is made of cherry. It's a single piece of wood that's been bent and glued up. This is called a Bowron. And this Bowron is a Middle Eastern style Bowron. There's another style of Bowron that is Irish, and it's played differently. We'll be playing this one on the lap like I just played the other one. Just like that. Whereas an Irish Bowron is generally gonna have a thicker head, tuned much lower, and it's gonna be played with a beater called a tipper. We don't want to go with that sound. For what we're going to be doing, you're going to be doing fingertips. If you have an old, a lower pitched Irish Bowron and you want to play it, you're going to find that the tones are going to be kind of muted. They're going to be soft. It's going to be very quiet. It's okay if you want to play it that way. Just put it on your lap like this and you're good to go. But if you are interested in really getting the best tone possible, you're looking for a higher pitch Bowron, one that's to be played Middle Eastern style. You can also be looking at Bendir, the Tar, Rick, which has jingles on it. Any frame drum that can be played that has a thin head. You don't want a rock tambourine. I mean, that doesn't really work, but basically what you're looking for is a thin head. All of these drums have a synthetic head, and I recommend that. I don't recommend natural skin for the frame drums because they tend to crack. I've got a bunch of frame drums on the walls around here that are beautiful drums, but because I live in the desert and many of them are not tunable, once they got here and it got to the middle of summer, they cracked and they're toast. I can't play them. So I'm a real fan of using the synthetic head. Remo makes great heads. All the Coopermans are using Remo heads. Obviously, all the Remo drums are using Remo heads. It's a good way to go. So frame drums are one way to go. I don't recommend Native American frame drums. If you got one of those with a deer skin head and a beater and you're playing it like a shamanic drum, you may be able to play that like a tar. It depends on the drum, it depends on the pitch and the head itself. Deer skin is a lot thicker than goat or fish. Most of these are goat skin if they were natural. Even the Remo Native American style drum is going to be too deep in pitch to be able to play with your fingertips. So if you have one of those, you can start with that. That's fine. Again, like the Irish Bowron. But I do recommend eventually, and really sooner than later, getting your hands on a frame drum that's really designed to be played with the fingers. And like I said, the Remo 12-inch is $30. The 16-inch is like 50 or 60. So they're really inexpensive. This drum, I think, is maybe $400 or $500. So the Coopermans with the real nice wood, this has an inlay in it. It's gorgeous, and this is tunable. I have the ability to tune it in the back. Most frame drums are not. You don't need a tunable frame drum. So just get one that you like the sound of, get used to playing it, and then once you start developing technique, you'll start looking for drums that kind of meet a criteria for you, something that really speaks to you. And so my take is start off simply and grow from there. So those are the frame drums. We're going to be doing two different techniques in this program using the frame drums. Like I said, it's the lap style and then the tar style held up. That's where a lot of people start because it's inexpensive. The other style we're going to be looking at is the way I play most of the time, and that's with a barrel or a goblet-shaped drum. And the barrel and the goblet-shaped drums are basically the djembes, the West African djembes, or ashikos, or the Cuban kunga drums. This drum here is a conga or conga, depending on how you want to pronounce it. This is a Cuban type of drum. It's typical in Latin music. You're going to find a lot of in popular music. This is the first hand drum that's going to be brought into a band. You know, Santana had congas players in their group, and a lot of R&B bands and reggae bands and whatnot. This is probably something you're very familiar with. These are a great way to go. There's a limitation on how the way they sound, because they won't get the bass tone that we'll get in some of the other drums, but it's more than sufficient for what we're going to be doing. When I was playing ceremonies with Shango technique that I learned 30 odd years ago, we used conga drums. And it was fine. It worked beautifully. It still did everything that you needed to do in ceremony. Traditionally, in the technique that I learned, the Shango, bata drums were used. And a bata drum is kind of like a conga with one large head on one side and a smaller head on the other side, and you play it on your lap, and you play like back and forth. And so your left hand is a different pitch than your right hand. Similar technique as a conga, just a slightly different orchestration that's happening. So the conga drum is a really common barrel-shaped drum. You can use that. These are going to run for kind of an entry-level conga drum, maybe $300 a piece, up to $1,000 or more per drum. I have several sets of conga drums. They're all the best ones I could find. And I recommend getting the best you can afford, because there's differences in the heads and the hardware. These drums are all going to have a natural skin head on them. The conga drums are going to have a calf skin. And so it's going to be a fairly thick head. The other style here that's really common is the djembe. Now, this is a really high-tech djembe. A lot of the djembes you see have rope tuning, and they're carved out of a single log, and they're very tribal looking. They've got carvings that have been they're painted, and they can be really beautiful works of art. They may or may not sound good. So this is something you want to really experiment with before you buy it, is play it a bit, see if you like the tone. What I do recommend with the djembe, especially if you're going the tribal route, is don't get one that has the fur still on the head. You know, you'll find some that are you know, strung up. They'll have pegs in them maybe to tune, and it'll be just a skin over it that hasn't been cleaned. And they look really nice in your living room, but they don't play very well. Get one that has had the fur taken off, that you've just got the goat skin. tuning, I don't really love rope tuning, but if you have it, you'll get used to it. I love being able to tune it with a wrench. I use this because I record, and I need to have as much control as I can. So that's where this comes from. This is an LP, by the way. These are about $600 or $700. Carved African ones can run anywhere from $150 to $1,000, depending on what it is. Size-wise, I believe this is a 12-inch drum. It's a pretty good size. I wouldn't go much lower than 10, because then you start getting into something that really doesn't have as much control in the sound. You won't get as deep a bass tone. It'll be more difficult to play. You know, a 12, 14-inch, 10, 12, 14, those are good sizes for a djembe. Anything smaller than 10 isn't worth it. Anything bigger than 14 just gets unwieldy, I think. So the djembe is a good way to go. The sound of this drum. The one thing about these goblet-shaped drums is they have a deep bass tone. You hit it in the center, you get a real nice bass tone. You also get some nice sounds with it. I'm sure you've seen a lot of these. A lot of you who've been doing drum circles probably have one of these. These are great to start with. You can do anything you need to do with this. So if you have a djembe, great. I'll be covering technique on that as we go forward. Let's see, what's another option here? Remo Drums makes a series of drums, not just the frame drums, but they make, they probably have 100 different styles at this point, but this drum is of their set years ago, was my favorite. It's called the Tubano. It's straight up and down. See if I can lift it. You can see it's really heavy. But it's kind of designed on the idea of a straight conga style. They do make conga drums. This is nicer because it's got a chamber in it that gives it a nice bass tone. And so of the hand drums that have this kind of barrel or goblet shaped style, I don't like their djembes because I don't like djembes myself. That the head has too much overtone. I tend to like the thicker head that you get with the Kunga drum. And so when I was talking to Remo Belli, the owner of Remo, about what drums I would want to use, he sent me these thinking this would be the best choice, and I agree with him. I use these quite a bit. They're nice, they're indestructible, they're heavy because they're made out of fiber and resin. But this has a synthetic head on it, and of all the drums of this style, I don't really care for the synthetic head, but this one's okay. This is a fiber skin Mondo head. It sounds pretty decent. It's got a beautiful bass tone. So this is a nice drum. Remo makes a whole bunch of drums, and they're reasonably priced. They're indestructible to a point. But they're going to lack a little bit of the depth that you're going to find with the wood Kungas or djembes with the natural skin head. So I'm a fan of the natural skin with these types of drums, not for the frame drums. Okay, so these are the basics of goblet and barrel-shaped drums. There are some, this is going to be somewhat controversial, but we'll just go with it anyway. Some people play a Dumbek or a Darbuka. This is a hammered tin Dumbek. This has got high-tech tuning on it. You'll find some that are pre-tuned. In other words, they're strong and you can't do anything with them. They come in ceramic. This is a Middle Eastern instrument. It's goblet-shaped, obviously. You'll see them fired ceramic with a glaze on it or more earthenware kind of look, just really raw, maybe with some carvings in it. You'll find some cast iron ones that look like the fired ones that are pretty indestructible. As far as I'm concerned, they sound the best. These generally nowadays have goatskin heads. You'll find some with fish skin. They're often played, traditionally they're played like a lap style frame drum, sitting underneath your arm and played much like you would with the lap style. And I'll go into that. So I know you can't see past this other drum I have here. But if you decide to play this drum sitting between your legs like you would a djembe, you play it like a djembe and it'll sound very similar. It's got the bass tone and then the upper. So that's another way to go. These can run a couple $100 or more. They're not too expensive. The Remo drums, I said, were fairly inexpensive, but they can still, a good Remo Kunga drum can still run $500. I think these Tubaners are somewhere around four at this point. So that's the basics of the different drums you can get out there. And then I'll talk about two more because there's two that I use almost exclusively with our programs that we make for people with autism and ADD and sleep disorders, anxiety disorders and whatnot. And they are called the Gunga. This is the Gunga here. And you'll notice that it's a goblet shape in a way. This was designed actually as a traveling Kunga drum. And so this collapses. So you get a drum that's basically one-third the size, the height of a regular Kunga drum. A Kunga drum here is about 30 inches. This drum's about 10. And the idea here was that you could get three of these into one Kunga case. And so if you were traveling around and you didn't want to haul three cases, you could get three into one. The advantage with this drum is that because of this chamber, you have the same kind of shape that you get with the djembe. And this up here, because this is kind of closed in and has a smaller opening, the bass tone gets trapped in there and gets a chance to build up before it exits the drum. So for instance, this drum here, I can play a nice bass in the middle. Beautiful bass tone. Whereas the Kunga drum back here, you get a little bit of bass, but not a ton. Much bigger bass. This drum is made by Gungbops. They're the ones who developed this idea. Unfortunately, about, I think it was about 1997, they went out of business. And they were resurrected twice. DW Drums bought them at one point, released the Gunga in their lineup, but they made a really crappy version. It didn't sound very good, had cheap hardware on it. And then Sabian Cymbals out of Canada bought the name and started manufacturing them. They're calling them American made, but I don't know. So that's the Gunga. That's the drum I play. I have a Gunga here. I have three different sizes, and I'll talk about sizes when I talk about... let me talk about sizes now. With Gunga drums, you have three different sizes. You've got a Quinto, which is a small one. It's usually around 10 inches. And then you've got a Gunga, which is the standard, the middle size, and that's around 11 inches. And then you've 10 and a half to 11. And then you have the Tumba, which is the big drum, which is what I have here, which is anywhere from 12 to 12 and a half inches. And generally, Gunga players play two or three when they play in popular music. When I was playing in Chango, we had three Gungas in the group, but we each played our own drum. I played a Tumba most of the time, because that's usually the when you're first starting out, that's the one you play. So I did get to move up, but the Tumba was my favorite drum. I'm still playing it, which is kind of interesting, 35 years later or whatever. You would generally play them going back and forth within ensemble, within the ceremonies. We're each playing our own. Then we also have a bell player, and I'll go into details about all that. So when you're looking at Gungas, get the Gunga size. Don't get the Quinto, don't get the Tumba. Just get the basic Gunga. If you want a pair, you're going to be getting the Gunga and the Tumba generally. The Quinto is something you could buy separately. And if you get to the point where you're playing three drums and you're a Gungero out there gigging and stuff, you'll know what sizes you want. But generally, if your first Gunga drum is going to be the Gunga or Conga. Let me play this Gunga for you a little bit, or this Gunga, so you can hear a little bit of what the depth, the sound is all about. And then we'll talk about maybe a couple more here. I'm not sure. I'll talk about these in a minute. So I'm just going to play it so you can hear how deep the bass tone is and how nicely controlled the tone is. The djembe has a lot of overtones. It's a nice drum. This doesn't have overtones because it's got a thick head on it. It sounds like this. It's a nice drum. So this is what I worked with from the get-go when I was working with clients. This is the first drum. As a matter of fact, this one over here, so you can barely see the wood one, was the first one I had. I bought that in the early 90s. That was used on all of our early clinical research. For the last, since 98, I had the red ones here. I have a set of three. I'll tell you a story about the third one at some point. These are the drums that we use for all of our custom programs. And then we also use these drums over here, which are called Udu drums. Udu drums are from Nigeria. They're originally a pot storage vessel that has an extra hole in it. These were considered women's drums, and men weren't allowed to play them for a very, very long time. They're very cool. Beautiful tones. You basically are scraping it, tapping it, slapping it, whatever you need to do. Beautiful expressive drum. This is something that we use a lot in our custom programs. You hear it a lot of Brainshift Radio, as well as the Gunga. It's a nice way to go. Just to let you know, the Gunga drums, cost-wise, you can't even get them, so it doesn't matter what they cost. These drums are cheap. I think this is an LP museum quality or museum design. It's just this tabletop thing. You know, it was designed to kind of, you know, be a gift that you give to somebody and they put on their table and never play it. It's my favorite sounding one. It's like $40 or something like that. It's stupid. It was really inexpensive. These other ones are a certain line of Udus that LP makes, a company called Latin Percussion. They have a whole bunch of different sizes and shapes for what, depending on what you want to do, and there's some pretty cool ones out there. There's other potters making these. You'll find some with a little head on them. I don't really care for those, but they're nice little drums. We can translate some of the rhythms that we use for this program onto the Udu. It's not too difficult, so if you have an Udu or are really drawn to one, it's a good way to go too. They're very, very quiet, though. That's the thing you need to remember. So if you need to play in a drum circle, forget it. If you want to create a vibration that you can really get a sense of, you're not going to have that. The bass tones are beautiful. If you're playing it on your lap, which is the way you generally do it, you do get a feel for it. So that's kind of cool. So nice way to go, nice place to start. That's an udu drum. Let's see here. This is a frame drum that I found at a tourist shop. This actually has a real goatskin head on it. It sounds beautiful. And, you know, I think anybody who plays a natural skin versus a synthetic head will tell you it sounds better. But I've been really lucky that this one hasn't cracked yet. So start off with a synthetic head. As you develop some skills and some preferences, keep your eyes open. You might find something like this. It's a really nice deal. That drum, by the way, was like $30. It was really cheap. So that's the idea of drums. Get one, get started, find one or more. Choose your style. And when we get into technique, you'll be able to learn each of these styles as you go. Like I said, we've got the goblet in the barrel shape, like the kungas or the djembes. We've got the frame drums that you play up like this. That's the tars. You've got the bauran. You've got a bendir. You've got a handful of other styles of Middle Eastern frame drums that you can use that are going to have jingles or beads inside or something to give you extra sounds. Those are fine too. But like I said, if you've got no drum now, start with a book. Get your hands on an inexpensive Remo. You know, this would be your all-around versatile drum, a 16-inch, because it's going to allow you to play two different ways. Great way to go. You can also decide to play it like a Native American drum if you want, because we will be doing some shamanic drumming in this course. That will be played if you have a Native American style drum with a beater. We can play it just as well with our fingers. So you don't need to get the beater, but 16-inch Remo frame drum is a good way to begin. So get your drum. Next time we'll be talking about the technique, and you'll get start to make some intentional sounds on your instrument.